Hello, and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. Welcome back on campus. Always great to have you here.
I'm always happy to be here. I sort of feel this, you know, when I turn off of I-35, that big north-south freeway that runs up and down through Texas, and I start heading toward campus, I just sort of feel this calm come over me. It's a very serene place to be here.
An educational institute at its greatest form is a place for mindfulness.
Well, I think you all have achieved that because I can definitely feel that when I think my blood pressure drops a little.
I thought with our conversations, it often churns up, so
it
I'm
does.
Happy.
I'm not saying that continues.
Oh, I see. Once you see me, everything changes. Welcome to my world.
Now, it's funny you said once I see you. You know, in a previous episode, we were discussing the importance of vision and visualization and assessment across a lot of disciplines. And I want to hear from you a little bit about your vision, kind of a different kind of vision. You've been talking about sort of a new vision for Southwestern University in particular, but higher ed and learning in general. Let's talk about that today.
Oh, I'd love to. This has been something that we on the Southwestern campus and beyond, we've been thinking about this now for several years. Really, what is it that we're trying to deliver to individuals who are trying to grow? And the elevator pitch or the one sentence thing that I mean, there's a long document that we've written and I won't share all that with you. But in one sentence, really our focus and our vision is think, create, connect to make meaning and make a difference. And if I unpack that a little bit, if you'll allow me.
Yeah.
You know, the think, first of all, putting thinking front and center. We've talked about this for many episodes, so I won't go into this. But the idea that with intentionality, it's not just thinking about subjects, but thinking through the subjects. Last night, I had dinner with a bunch of students, and they were talking about education. And when I pressed them and said, you know, they said, well, we work on it, you know, and studying it. I'm like, what's the it? And they said, well, you know, we're going to forget some of the stuff. But it's the thinking. And I was thrilled they said that. Exactly. And it just shows you that our faculty really are focused on, with intentionality, not only talking about the thinking, not only amplifying the thinking, but assessing it. So think. Now, create means the idea of creating new knowledge, creating new works of art, creating new creativity, new scholarship. The idea that undergraduates can actually add their voice to the movement of human understanding. And, you know, through undergraduate research and through undergraduate scholarship experiential learning, undergraduates can make contributions. And of course, Connect, we've talked about this. This is our Paideia curriculum where intentionally all the courses really do connect together. So this idea of think, create, connect, and then to make meaning and make a difference, it's to really, first of all, make meaning to have deep understanding. You know, if you think about it, you can think, create, and connect and not know anything.
Right.
Right?
And that would be sad.
And that would be a little sad. And so the idea here is that, you know, making meaning means to have a sense of deep understanding, which we've talked about before, but also to decide what's meaningful in your life. What do you value? What is important to you? Who are you as an individual? What are your goals? And with intentionality, you have to begin a lifelong journey to figure out who you are and what you believe in and what you stand for and what you're going to do. And there's no right or wrong answer. I mean, it might be, I want to commit myself to my family. I want to commit myself to my career. I want to make a lot of money. I want to do great works in my community. I want to help the world. There's no right or wrong answer. And those things, as you and I both know, change as we develop as human beings and go through our lives. But there has to be intentionality in making those decisions as to who I am.
That package sounds like something that is easily transferable wherever you're studying, and even if you're not in a formal educational setting, just lifelong learning.
Absolutely.
Think, create, connect.
And by the way, I also argue that, you know, on a residential campus like Southwestern University, it's happening throughout, not just the curricular activities, but the co-curricular activities. But it's also exportable that I'm hoping that other schools will just begin to steal this and do the Southwestern University way, and we can revolutionize education.
You know what really, one of the things that strikes me about this is I wrote a little note to myself and I wrote, not easy.
No.
And I think a different way to say that is it requires very active participation. You know, wherever you are in the learning position, whether you're a student in a formal classroom setting or you're just a student, you know, of life and you're learning all of your life, you can't sit back and sort of just read the book and listen to the lecture and quotes. You really have to put yourself actively into the process.
That word is so important. You know, like I said, we have a whole vision and a direction and some goals and so forth. And one of the words we used, we talk about what kind of students we want to attract. We want to attract engaged learners. And that's exactly what you're saying, active learners. Now, of course, in the humanities and the social sciences and the fine arts, this just happens by definition. I mean, they're seminars, they're discussion classes. You can't sit in the back of the room because, you know, our class sizes are so small, you're around a table. And so you're part of it. But in the natural sciences, traditionally, that's something where you don't have to be active except in the lab. Southwestern has committed itself to an inquiry-based learning curriculum, which means that the students explore and are the creators of knowledge rather than merely the consumers of knowledge.
I want to continue our discussion, but I also want to dive back into the puzzler.
You can't have it both ways. You either do one or the other. Now, what do you want to do?
Well, I think we actually can do both because I think that this puzzler requires active and engaged participation.
Well, let me remind our listeners what the puzzler is, and then I want to hear what your thoughts are on it, okay? So you're at a high school reunion from many years back, and you meet someone you haven't seen in a while, and I'm going to give you two versions of the same scene. The first version, the person says, oh, I have two children. One is named Jonathan. And in the second version, the person says, I have two children. The older is named Jonathan. Now, if we assume that Jonathan is a boy, the question is, what is the likelihood that this person has two sons? And is there a change in the likelihood between these two different versions of the scene? That was the math puzzler.
And just to clarify, we know two children. One is named Jonathan.
Correct.
Okay. So,
and Jonathan, we're assuming, is a boy.
And we're going to assume that Jonathan's a boy. And
right.
So the question is, what's the likelihood that the second child is also a boy?
Correct. That is the question.
So in thinking about this, I don't mean this in a rude way. Can't we just shove Jonathan off to the side? Because Jonathan's gender doesn't impact the possible gender of the other child, right?
First of all, let me just say, because there are listeners here, that officially we do not shun any student to the side at Southwestern University. We engage and encourage all of them equally.
Let's give Jonathan a science project to go do then and occupy him somewhere else.
You are very mean.
Well, all I'm saying
is the gender of
Jonathan. So it's 50-50.
So 50-50.
50 for whether the second child is a son.
I'm going to channel Regis Philbin here. Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
All right. Well, you are half correct.
Okay. Ooh, interesting. Tell me.
So in the scenario.
Yes.
The second scenario where I said the older is named Jonathan.
Right.
You're absolutely right. The older is named Jonathan. That means we're talking about the younger kid. And there are two possibilities for the younger kid, either male or female. And we assume in these kind of puzzlers that it's a 50-50 thing. And so therefore it's 50%. So you're absolutely right. So there you can shun off your poor child, which I would never do, because we're talking about the younger one. But
yes.
In the first one, it says one is named Jonathan.
And we don't know the birth order there.
Correct. So there are actually four possibilities.
Ooh.
So if you have two children, there are four possibilities. You could either have girl-girl, you can have boy-girl, you can have girl-boy, or you could have boy-boy.
Right.
Now, if you're told that one is named Jonathan and Jonathan's a boy, that tells you that the girl-girl possibility is no longer a possibility.
Right, so you've got three.
So you have three equally likely possibilities.
Oh.
Out of the three, how many have, you know, two sons? It's just the boy-boy, that last one. So it's one out of three equally likely, so it's one-third.
I love that. I thought, you know, this was a great puzzler, as they all are, just because
thank you.
The level of thinking required, I just love that. And
that's right.
I think I kind of stopped at the idea. You may remember in the previous episode, I said, do I smell a red herring?
Oh, that's right. You were smelling things in the room.
I was having olfactory hallucinations. And I thought maybe the additional material was just to throw us off the scent a little.
Often it is with my puzzlers,
But I love the fact that you had to listen really closely and get that distinction between the two scenarios, because it turned out to be the whole key to the answer was remembering the difference between scenario one and scenario two.
I should tell you that some of the Southwestern people will share answers with me, especially my trustees. They write to me, and I'm delighted to say that if you're connected with Southwestern, you tend to get these more right than more wrong. And so I'm very proud of all of my peeps. My Southwestern peeps, a little shout out to them, if you don't mind. Yeah.
So just to wrap up our discussion here, I'm curious to hear from you how you sort of light that fire or maybe help move learners from being a little more passive to being more engaged and active. We have spoken before about the school experiences that students often have before they get to higher ed. And obviously it's a mixed bag. Sometimes it's not a great experience for all of them just because of the way systems are set up. How do you get students then to understand that, huh, this can be fun and I can be excited and engaged?
You know, I think our faculty are conscious of the fact that there's a lot of unlearning involved in this. When you have gone through K through 12, where it's a very rote type experience, I've got to pass a standardized exam, I got to pass the final and so forth, and that's the goal. There's a lot of unlearning and unpacking that our faculty do every day, especially starting in the first year type courses, but all the way through to basically reimagine what learning should be. And then more generally, my point has always been, what is the definition of education? And so having people define education not as a list of topics that I'm supposed to memorize and reproduce when asked, but rather a life-changing, life-enhancing experience that allows individuals to grow and become their very best self. That's what we're trying to accomplish. When everyone is aligned with that, students, parents, alumni, faculty, staff, then in fact, the whole is truly greater than the sum of the parts.
Well, thanks, Ed, for helping us keep our brain sharp and helping our whole be the greater than the sum of our parts.
Look at you pulling on my poetry.
That's right.
My math poetry.
Your math poetry. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu and keep your brain sharp by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find Higher Ed on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staten with KUT News.